Good morning. Everybody be seated. Thank you. It is so good to be with you all here in this place we love. Debbie and I have been looking forward to coming home for this visit. For those who do not know, I am Barbie Click, Deacon, Missioner for Jubilee Ministries in the Diocese of Missouri. I also manage a Jubilee Ministry Center, Trinity Food Ministry, at Trinity Episcopal Church in the Central West End of St. Louis. So Jubilee Ministries, what is it? It works in Christ with and for oppressed people wherever they are to meet the basic human needs and to build a just society. It is both charity, because people need water, food, clothing on a daily basis, and it is advocacy, working with and for people to change this unjust society. It is a ministry, just a little bitty ministry, addressing the concerns of poverty, hunger, and housing. I learned of Jubilee Ministries almost 9 years ago when I became the manager for Trinity Food Ministry. TFM was one of the first Jubilee Ministries in the diocese. Today, there are three: TFM, Red Door at Christ Episcopal Church in Cape Girardeau, and Holy Cross Poplar Bluff. However, pay attention to this part, there are many parishes in this diocese doing the work of Jubilee Ministry, only they're not yet designated. Did you catch that hint? Each Jubilee Ministry acts, each center acts as a resource for any diocesan poverty, hunger, or housing ministry. And as missioner of Jubilee Ministries, it is my goal to identify and build a diocesan network of these ministries. So part of my mission today is to ask you, Christ Church Cathedral, are there ways that I can help you? Because that's my job as missioner. Have you ever been so overwhelmed by the vastness of creation and its intricate weavings that you ask the same question that the psalmist asked today? What are we that you should be mindful of us? Mere mortals, that you should care for us? To feel that amazing limitlessness of God, yet at the same time feel our own smallness so finite, while still feeling the immeasurable love of God. It gives me cold chills. Yet, how many people experience the opposite of that? How many people feel so inconsequential, so as not to matter at all? Exhausted by the daily rigors of just living, they forget, or perhaps they do not know, that they are a part of the infinite love of God. That feeling can be a hope killer. And when hope is gone, what's life? What is left? Where are the dreams? Jubilee Ministry is about hope, a belief that regardless of the ugliness, the unspeakable tragedies, the everyday bone-chilling exhaustion, each person is a creation, is a creature of that divinity, loved beyond measure, and we are capable of loving just as Jesus teaches us to love. In love with one another, in deep bonded love, steadfast, unconditional, like Jesus. I tell you, love is the key to changing the world, and it's what keeps hope alive. Paul talks about hope today with the Romans. He doesn't make them a promise that if they're broken, that they will come back stronger. That old adage of what doesn't kill us will make us stronger. It's not true, just simply not true. Because sometimes we aren't always stronger. In fact, we may be broken forever. Yet we endure. Paul's message is that in spite of the suffering, we endure because we belong to God and God's love is firmly alive in our hearts. We endure in that love, as does hope. I saw a quote that was on the Celtic Christian Tradition Facebook page. It talks about hope. People speak of hope as if it's this delicate, ephemeral thing made of whispers and spider webs. It's not. Hope has dirt on her face and blood on her knuckles and the grit of cobblestones in her hair. And she just spat out a tooth as she rises up for another go. Hope tenaciously stands ready to take on all the minority forces that deny humanity to a majority of the populace. Jubilee Ministry is a ground level ministry in the midst of the people, meeting people where they are. And just like hope, we may have dirt on our faces and grit in our hair. Thankfully, I haven't ever had bloody knuckles, nor have I spat out a tooth. But some days it feels like that. My heart is cracked repeatedly, yet soars in joy far more often. And that joy comes from relationship, because it is always, always, all about relationship. Respecting the dignity of every person means that we do not, we cannot, we should not ever assume what someone needs. Listening to them is vital. To listen to them, we have to build a relationship so that we can actually be close to them. Charity by itself is toxic, we've heard that. Advocacy is necessary to change the unjust systems that keep people in poverty for generation after generation. And you've heard this before, the whole damn system is guilty as hell. The premise that Jubilee Ministry functions within is twofold. It's really simple. First, in Christ, all things are possible. Secondly, poverty is actually a solvable problem. It's not changed by the, This problem is about changing, not the major things in the world, but it starts with us. It begins with the way that we think and the way that we act. We may not stop supporting Amazon. I think I have a little addiction, and all the other mega corporations in our consumer economy, but we can make certain that people who work there get fair wages under safe conditions. We absolutely cannot make ridiculously rich people stop wasting their money on power games or to make them use their wealth to eliminate poverty altogether. But we can tax them fairly. But more clearly, individually and as a church, we can live into the way of Jesus. If, just imagine this, if we looked at every person we meet, regardless of whatever, whomever they are, if we looked at each person as a created life of the divinity and full of holy potential, the other will just evaporate. It will no longer exist. Because what will be standing in front of us is another human that we recognize as made in the image of God. There will always be rich people. There will always be poor people. Jesus told us that. Yet, that is why we pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Each person letting go of whatever we think someone else owes them. Can you do that? Living this prayer can change our lives. Do all people deserve basic human needs? These needs include food, water, safety, sleep, warmth. If these basic needs are not met, the human body does not function ideally. People who live in poverty, whether they are underhoused or unhoused, lack these basic needs. According to psychologist Abraham Maslow, these basic needs must be met before people are able to address the more complex needs like mental and physical health, relationships, sobriety, long-term housing, employment. So yes, all people deserve access to basic human needs. It's better for the person, and it's better for the whole of society. So what causes a person to be without a home? We can answer that in one simple word, poverty. People in poverty have health concerns that are exacerbated by poverty. Less access to health care. No wellness plan for a person with diabetes, high blood pressure, or asthma. Food insecurity causes higher rates of physical and mental health problems, which are then aggravated by stress. Long-term stress can increase suicides and confrontations that lead to gun violence. Note the overlay. Food insecurity and gun violence. This is the reality of St. Louis. It is a vicious cycle. Black, indigenous, and people of color are far more likely to be exposed to climate extremes or be affected by climate extremes, live near toxic land sites, have contaminated water, sometimes in their very houses, if not especially in their schools. They're also more likely to live in food deserts. All of these things can cause illness, and illness can definitely lead to homelessness. According to the United Way, the pandemic only served to intensify existing problems for those who were homeless. Yet it also added scores to the numbers of those who were homeless. Homelessness increased across the city and the nation due to evictions, even with federal holds in place to keep renters from being evicted. Those landlords who did not evict became victims themselves, often having a building full of non-paying renters with federal funds coming in too slow or too late. As more people became homeless, fewer resources and beds were available. Pantry and meal programs closed, with some of them still not open. The shelters that did exist, including winter pop-up emergency shelters, as you all well know, had to lower the number of people due to COVID. With fewer resources available, those people who might have recovered on their own from homelessness before COVID became chronically homeless. That means for more than 1 year. COVID has compounded the vicious cycle. And then there's the concern about mental health or mental illness. It's really easy for us to apply a stigma or to judge people. it's easy for us to assume that someone who is acting erratically has a mental illness. Yet few of us in this room are actually professionally educated in that field so as to be able to diagnose that medical condition. Mental health itself can be compromised by poverty or homelessness, regardless of whether there is an actual medical disorder. Sleep, let's just talk about sleep, or the lack of. It's one of those needs that can affect mental health. And it can also lead, if you are sleepless, sleep deprived long enough, it can lead to an irreversible mental illness. Within 24 hours, a person denied sleep can become accident prone, make mistakes, bad decisions. They look like they're drunk. One can wonder, did people lose their homes due to mental illness? Or did becoming unhoused cause their mental health to be compromised? Or we can assume, and we may be right on this assumption, that people are using drugs, which cause the erratic behavior. Again, which came first? I have often wondered, what would I do if I suddenly became homeless? No safe place to sleep, no money, no cell phone, no one to call if I did have a cell phone. Dirty, exhausted, scared. How long would it take before I sought something that would numb me so that I would pass out and be able to forget for a little bit? Poverty aggravates physical and mental health. It's compounded by catastrophic life events, which are further aggravated by epidemics and environmental threats, creating a greater impoverished condition and people. It is a deadly, vicious cycle. How do we stop this? This isn't about Jesus. These are not the poor people that Jesus was talking about always being with us. Scripture tells us that God favors those who are oppressed, and Jesus also. So let's look at what did Jesus actually do. He was a couch surfer, so that makes he was homeless, right? He depended upon other people. He had no place to lay his head. He depended upon others to offer him food and drink. Yet, he never turned away from anyone who was acting weird. In fact, he was more likely to turn towards that person, to lay hands on them, and to make them well. He was there for those who did not fit the norms of society. He walked, and he talked, and he ate, and he sat with them. He cured their dis-ease and their diseases. And he railed against the rich and those who would presume themselves to be powerful. Can we do any less? Jesus said, "When the Spirit of truth comes, she will guide you into all truth. For she will not speak on her own, but will speak whatever she hears, and she will declare to you the things that are to come." The Spirit is calling to us. What is she telling us? Where is she leading us? What truth is there that she wants us to hear? Are we listening? What new revelation of Jesus is awaiting us inside or outside these walls? In whom will Jesus be revealed to you today? Are we watching? How do we break the shackles of our consumer economy that demands we maintain the status quo of divisiveness? What do we have to lay aside so that we can see with the love of Christ rather than with eyes that are blinded by stigma and judgment, which causes us to live only in and for ourselves? For what do you hunger? What can satisfy that hunger? For what do you thirst? What will quench that thirst? How does your longing, your personal longing, relate to the needs of the world? Where are these connected? Jesus tells us, feed those who are hungry. Give water to those who thirst. Clothe those who are naked. Take care of the elders and the children, all of the children. Tend to those who are without family, friends, community, without homes. And when you do this for them, you do this for me. Listen. Watch and act. Act against all things that deny that every human, no matter what race, ethnicity, gender, sexuality, or political belief, is made in the image of God and is loved regardless, steadfastly. Are we willing to love any less? This, my friends, is Jubilee Ministry, living in God's extravagant love, listening for the Spirit's voice telling us what is true, and speaking the Jesus truth to all who presume to be in power. Jubilee Ministry is a tool that we can use that unleashes that hope that lives because of God's extravagant love. Can we do any less? Amen.